What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And in today's episode, I'm joined with Maxine's grand champion, Maria Kashiri. Maria, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you. Beautiful to be here. It's lovely to talk to you.
I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experiences with the challenge. But look, Maria, you know, just a few weeks ago, you found out that not only were you in the top 10, not only were you in the top three, but you won the Maxine's challenge. What has the past couple of weeks been like for you?
It was so hard to comprehend that I actually won the challenge. I worked so hard to get to the point that I wanted to win, but I didn't want to confirm in my own mind that I was at that point, at that physique that I would actually get there. And I watched so many other challenges progress and work just as hard as myself. And I felt like everyone else deserved to win just as much as I did. So to be realistic, I felt like I won that medal for everyone, not just for myself. Because everyone put that effort in and they were just amazing.
I love that. That's such a beautiful words.
Yeah.
Beautiful words. Maria, look, I know a little bit about you. I've read your profile. I see you posting on our Facebook group very regularly, but there might be some people listening here who are not sure who you are. So would you like to introduce yourself? Maybe tell us where you're from, what you do, and who is Maria?
Okay. We live in Sydney and I'm Portuguese. Married to a Maltese husband. We've been married for about 25 years. We have three kids, a 24, 22, and a 16-year-old. And we're self-employed, just husband and wife. We've been self-employed for about 20 years and doing well. Just recently purchased a warehouse in the middle of COVID. So that was renovating time. We were living at Bunnings, buying stuff to renovate the warehouse. But we're in the panel beading industry. We supply welding equipment to panel beaders. So everything's shut down as well. No one was driving their cars at that time. And so money just ceased. So,
That would have been quite stressful. Lots of unknowns and
that's when
uncertainty.
JobKeeper came into play.
Right.
So
right.
Big relief.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Look, Maria, I want to start by asking why. And I understand that you've completed two challenges with us. So could you tell us a little bit of a story about why you chose to maybe start the very first challenge and then why you chose to sign up that second time? So can you speak a little bit about, you know, the reasons why you chose to do the Maxine challenge?
Okay. Well, the original reason I started the first TNS program was, again, Sydney went into lockdown. So me and my training partner were sitting at home for about 2 weeks, going crazy, anxiety started building up. I've got anxiety. I had no release. Then I was on Facebook and the Maxine program just popped up, just out of nowhere. I had never, ever seen the program pop up. Or the ad. And then I approached Elsa Leader and I asked her, come on, let's just do it. We'll train at home, get some equipment. And we just motivated each other. So off we went to Kmart, 5 kilo dumbbells each, a training mat for the floor, a pair of resistant bands. So we had one set each, a kettlebell that we found, and that was pretty much all we had to train with. So we did half of the TNS program was at home in my barbecue area outside, which I posted videos from, using whatever I had. We did step-ups on my bench, like the stools outside. We did calf raises on my back steps. So we just modified it to work.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
We had so much fun. It was probably the best training sessions we had. It was great, yeah. And we had other challenges. We had other challenges on the Maxine site giving us alternate exercises. Do this, tie a bed sheet to the door, you know, to pull yourself up. So it was great. We had a lot of support.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It was. It was great. And then halfway through the challenge, the gyms opened. So then we were back with some normal weights. Mm-hmm. And so So my background story to training, probably 7 years of cardio.
Okay.
Before Maxine came along into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we were constantly going into group fitness classes, doing cardio, never lifted a weight in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to do some weight training and resistance training was a whole different level of thinking for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to learn everything, and you were our guide. So I was a bit starstruck meeting you today because we were watching you every day teaching us how to do our exercises. So every day we had Coach Steve up watching him. Like, what do we do today?
Oh, come on, don't be like that. Look, I'm grateful that I was able to help you, but at the end of the day, you did the work, right? You learned how to do it. And I couldn't be there next to you, but you know, you and Elf Leader worked together to learn this new way of training. And you know, we can touch on it where you said that you came from a cardio-based exercise background where you were more inclined to do a group fitness class. You know, could you speak a little bit about how you noticed your body changing as you transition into resistance training? And maybe, for example, you felt stronger. Maybe you noticed the body fat starting to melt away. Maybe you felt like, you know, those aches and pains started to go away. Like, how did your body respond to that resistance training?
Okay. From doing so much cardio, our bodies were so used to what we were doing at that time. We were coming out of classes depleted in energy, fatigued, craving sugar, constantly trying to refuel what we just burnt in that hour session. So transitioning from full cardio to weight training, our bodies, the effect it had on our bodies was that we started losing weight, we started toning, we started seeing fat disappearing out of areas that wouldn't budge.
So it sounds like lots of positives came out from it, right?
There were a lot of positives out of it, definitely.
I guess I want to like really highlight this because it's a common objection that we face from women when we show them the training templates and we talk about resistance training. The common objection is, oh, I don't want to get bulky, right? Maybe you felt the same way. It's these fears of, oh, like, you know, I'm going to look like some, you know, muscle meathead type man, woman thing in between, whatever you want to look like. And I guess that's not the case, right? And, you know, could you speak a little bit about maybe that if you had any fear of going into the weights room or lifting up, you know, doing resistance training, like, could you speak a little bit about that transition? You know, was it an exciting switch or was it a little bit of an apprehensive switch of like, oh, I'm not quite sure. I don't know about this. I'm a little bit scared. Those types of things. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, when we went back to the gym, once COVID was over, we continued on training. So there's a bit of a taboo in a ladies only gym about weight training. We're pretty much encouraged to do group fitness classes, encouraged to do cardio and taught that that is the way that you stay healthy. We're not encouraged to weight train. And so for me and Elf Leader, once we got back to the gym and we started weight training, and we started building muscle. Well, I started building a bit more than her, but I was going heavier in the weights. I started getting a lot of negativity coming from ladies at the gym. You're starting to look like a man. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to stop doing what you're doing, coming to the classes.
Mm-hmm.
I was even asked if I was taking steroids at one time.
Yeah, okay.
And I just thought that was quite, I was a bit taken, you know, by that comment. But I had to change my mindset, refocus on what I wanted to do, what I was doing, what my goals were, and not worry so much about all the negative comments that were going around me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the Get Strong challenge, I actually had so many women come up to me and tell me how amazing I looked.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably the most athletic looking woman at my gym.
Mm-hmm.
They even wanted to come and do a story on me. That's how impressed they were. The women there have changed the way they view training.
Mm-hmm.
The training area, the weight area, is now crowded with women. I've had a positive impact on them.
Wow.
I've actually signed about 10 women onto Maxine, so they're following along with what I'm doing.
Wow.
So it's changed them totally, and it's just made me feel, I just feel like I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
And I'm influencing them.
Wow. You know, the first thing I want to say is I apologize for the negative comments that you might have received from people in your gym. I think when we are doing something different that is against the norm, the only way to respond is with negativity, right? It's like, oh, you're doing it wrong, right? You come be like us, right?
Yeah.
And I have a theory. I don't know if it's correct, but weightlifting is hard. Resistance training is hard, right? Sometimes some cardio, and I'm emphasizing on some, sometimes it becomes easy where, you know, you just go through the motions and you're just doing your class and whatever's happening. And then you finish and you're like, oh yeah, I got sweaty, great, happy days. I go home and I'll eat the slice of cake that I've been waiting for. All right.
Yeah. But
resistance training is hard. Resistance training is hard because it's physically hard. It's mentally hard because you have to keep saying hello to failure every single time. You know, you keep trying to make it harder on yourself, and it's mentally exhausting weights training. So it's easier to try to get everyone to go and do a group fitness class than for you to break off, lead the way and go, hey, this is what's now hard. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done. You've led the way, and now you're a role model and an inspiration to so many people. And I'm sure you don't understand how many people you've inspired, right? Where sure, there's the people in your gym, but there's also thousands of people online who look at your transformation and go, wow. And especially when we look at your transformation at the start of May, before the challenge even started, that's when you would have been like peak fit and healthy. You go to a gym, you've got a training partner, you do group fitness classes, you're fit and healthy. But then now you've got a completely different body. You completely transformed. And not only have you grown muscle, you've completely changed your metabolism. You've increased your bone mineral density. You've probably made yourself less injury prone. All these things that as we age is what we see, right? And I see it in the clinic. You know, people come in, they're 50 years old or 50 years young, probably a better word, and they look like they're 70 or 80. And it's like, well, what's happened to you? And they're, oh, I don't exercise. It's just, I let my body go. And then we have people in the challenge who are in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, and they look as young as me, right? And you know, you're an example of that, where you look like you're in your 20s, and it's through 12 weeks of structured exercise where you push yourself hard, you focus on resistance training, and now, and probably all the other things that you did. And now you look amazing and you inspired so many people.
Thank you.
So for that, I thank you. I thank you for helping me do my job, because now my job's easier because of people like you who are now the megaphone of exercise. It's like, hey, go lift some weights, right? Go pump your guns, go do some push-ups and reap the rewards of resistance training. So thank you for that.
The programs are absolutely amazing. They're so easy to follow, and the training is, the way I describe it is, it's simple, but it's so effective and it just works. Like, the moves are so simple that anyone can learn them.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to dedicate some time and go and give it a go. And it's so important for women to weight train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my whole mindset around training has changed from being involved in Maxine. I haven't stepped into a cardio class for the last 4 or 5 months. And it's so great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's amazing. Look, Maria, let's talk a little bit about challenges. And the first one is about learning how to weightlift. So could you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you may have faced? And that could be internally, as in mentally, or externally, in how you transition from cardio to weights. And for example, you know, what was the process like learning how to do those exercises and being a beginner again? Because you were someone who exercised a lot, and then now you're doing something new, you know, you kind of have to be a beginner and take a step back. And what was it like actually going through and learning those things? You know, did you have to constantly look at videos of maybe myself demonstrating the exercise, or did you have to film yourself and watch yourself do the exercise, or was Alfleda really helpful in giving you cues and stuff? Like, what was the process like for you, and was it challenging, or did you find it really easy?
It was definitely challenging, just due to the fact that we've never done a barbell squat or a deadlift, and we had to learn how to hold our form correctly. We also to injure ourselves. So we had to go quite light in weight and just pretty much put the training wheels on and start from scratch, get the form correct, and then slowly we would increase as the weeks went on. But it was quite difficult learning. And we did watch all your videos and we Googled a lot. At times I had to get a PT involved just to make sure I was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to correct my form. Yeah, like I said, injury was not an option. I just wanted to get through those 12 weeks. And then I discovered that I found a passion for weightlifting.
Okay.
And that is what drove me. This fire just was burning inside me and I was just in this passion and I just loved every session of training that I was doing and I'd go slightly heavier every week. And every training session, I'd go in there and train like it was my last session, pretty much. I would come out mentally exhausted because the concentration that you require to lift weights is such a different level to doing cardio. Cardio, you're not thinking. You're just listening to what the instructor tells you and you're bobbing along, come out, like you said, all sweaty. But weight training, I hardly sweat. I didn't sweat at all. Mm-hmm. I was just totally mentally exhausted by the end of it. Yeah.
I think that's not spoken enough, where people often judge how effective a workout was by how much they sweat. And in most weightlifting sessions, like I will wear a shirt and yeah, I'll get like maybe a little bit of a sweat patch under my arm when I'm training or something like that, but I'm not dripping with sweat. You know, realistically, I don't need a sweat towel. Like I just kind of like rub my forehead on my sleeve. So like weightlifting isn't necessarily like sweating a lot, but what's really exhausting and it's not spoken about enough is that mental side of things where it takes full concentration. Because if you've got, let's say, your body weight on your back or more than your body weight on your back and you're doing a back squat, you need to focus, right? Nothing else is happening except what's in that moment right there and there. And I akin it a lot to like meditation, because when you're meditating, you know, you're kind of focusing on your breathing or you're focusing on your body part or something like that. That's basically what you're doing when you're weightlifting. It's a focused form of meditation in your body. And let's say you're doing a squat, you're focusing on your quads, your glutes, you've got your abs, you're focusing on lowering yourself down, standing back up, you've got your breath going. And what ends up happening is you forget about everything else that's happening around you. You forget about the music that's in your ears or the music that's playing. You forget about your training partner next to you. You have no idea what's going on except what's in that one moment. And part of that is really beautiful, right? Part of that is an experience that is really hard to find, and people pay top dollar to find that experience, right? Where you can do it when you're focusing in that one moment. And that's addictive. It's exhausting, but it's addictive. And it sounds like you have found that little spark.
You're in that zone in your brain.
That zone. Yep.
You're in that zone and it's just total focus. Like you said, it's like meditating.
Yep. It's so hard to teach and so hard to explain. But once you get it, it's like, oh, you get it. You found that seed and you found that seed. And hopefully you can express it a little bit better than I can. But it's very much like meditating and you're in the zone and nothing else matters. And what ends up happening is you leave the gym more mentally exhausted than physically exhausted. And through my own observations of people training, I see positive effects on other aspects of your life through resistance training, such as, you know, your courage, your ability to be outgoing, maybe your work ethic, your professional development, your personal development, your relationships, because, you know, you start saying hello to fear or you start saying hello to failure because, you know, we fail in weightlifting all the time. You know, you don't make a lift, you fail at rep 8 instead of rep 10. And some people, that's scary. Some people, that's daunting. And that's when weightlifting isn't right for them because they don't know how to challenge themselves like that.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes cardio is easier because, hey, I don't have to think. I just go to a class and then I go home. But how many times do you challenge yourself in this environment where you've got, I don't know, 100 kilos on your back where it's like, hey, you better be focusing right now. But I digress. But look, we've spoken a bit about challenges. Could you speak any more about some challenges that you faced over your course of completing the challenge? And that could be, you know, as simple as managing COVID and gym lockdowns, or it could be on like the nutrition side of things. But what other challenges did you face while completing the challenge?
Okay. My main challenge, as I was speaking before, was the whole change of mindset of a different way of training.
Mm-hmm.
So it was relearning a new training technique. So I think the main challenge of going from a cardio-based training to strength training is that you need to slow down. I was this zippy Cardio Bunny. And when I first met my mentors, I was rush. Because that's all I knew. And the concept of weight training was a total opposite to what I knew. I had to slow moves down. I had to count reps, sets. I didn't know the concept of sets or reps. Everything was new to me. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn about that. I had to learn about muscle failure, working till muscle failure. So it was all new to me. So that was a huge challenge. And I'm so grateful I did it. It's just...
Yeah. Well, look, you spoke a little bit about your mentors. Do you want to speak about who they were and how they helped you?
Okay. My mentor was Sue and Laura. Just get to pronounce their surnames. I think it's Laura Batchett.
I believe so, yes.
She'll kill me.
And Sue Gullamaya, the previous Maxine champion.
That's it. Yes. Okay. Anyway, I met Sue after she won the May challenge. And I loved her transformation. And I wanted to build the way that she built. Mm-hmm. And her transformation became my next goal. So I contacted Susan, asked if she'd mentor me. And she said yes. And then she then led me on to meeting Laura. And with the two of them, they both mentored me as a team. And they were just amazing. They're just the most amazing, caring human beings. They're more than mentors to me. I've actually formed a very close bond to them. I haven't met either of them, but I think they'll be part of my life for some time.
Oh, beautiful. And do you live close by? Like, is meeting them something that could happen?
Susan lives about an hour away from me, but she's really, really busy.
Yeah.
Laura lives in Perth.
Okay, a little bit further, yeah.
Yeah, and we're borders closed, so that won't be happening for some time.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Maria, from here I want to speak a little bit about some things that you might have learned. And you've spoken a lot about things that you've learned around training side of things. What other things might have you have learned along the way? And this could be during the May challenge, maybe in this September challenge, or maybe even once the challenge was over. Could you speak a little bit about some things that you've learned along the way?
Okay, I've learned how to eat properly. Mm-hmm. I used to think that my diet was really healthy. Coming back from, you know, having a Mediterranean background, we used to eat a lot of bread and heavy-based foods. Mm-hmm. But there was also a lot of vegetables and salad. Mm-hmm. So I believed that my nutrition was quite healthy. Mm-hmm. But after starting the Maxine Challenge, I realized it wasn't what I thought it was. Being a cardio bunny, I was kind of told that carbs weren't so good for you. Reduce your carbs, you lose weight. Mm-hmm. Your body will use its own fuel. But it had the reverse impact. Mm-hmm. So the less carbs we ate, the more fat our bodies held on to. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really working. So by doing the Maxine Challenge, I learned that carbs were okay to eat. And then I had a better relationship with food. So at the moment, I'm actually eating about 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. And my body is burning it like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm having to think about increasing what I'm eating. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of carbs there at the moment, and I'm loving it. Thank you for that, all those cards in the program.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm on like a personal mission to destroy carbophobia. You know, there's nothing wrong with carbs. I think they get a really bad rap from people. And I think people assume that carbs are very pharmaceutical in nature, where somehow through some magical process, if you just get rid of carbohydrates, you'll lose weight instantly, where there is some magic behind it, because when you drop carbohydrates, maybe you've experienced it, your body ends up getting rid of a lot of fluid that it has. And mostly that's to do with the glycogen that's stored in your muscle belly. And I'm talking about sugar that's stored in your muscle belly, because when carbohydrates are broken down, they're broken down into sugar molecules and that gets stored in the muscle. Now, when we cut out carbohydrates, that muscle ends up just getting literally peed out. So what happens is we lose, you know, a kilo in a week, but that kilo will just be water. And as soon as you have like a small amount of carbohydrates, your muscle will be refueled with glycogen. And then with that comes a little bit of water. So your muscle belly will hold a bit of water. But what, and it's a common thing what you've explained, Maria, where people starting the challenge, maybe a little bit afraid of carbs, have been avoiding carbs for a really long time, but that ends up having a little bit of a negative effect on their ability to transform their body. Because when we are reducing our energy intake through carbohydrates, exclusively carbohydrates, and we're really depleted in glycogen in our muscle, we are genuinely weaker than we can be, right? We're not as strong. You may have experienced this when you started eating carbs again and you were weights training, you just really crazily went much stronger, like very rapidly. And if it was on a graph, it would have been a literal straight line.
It was a very fast transition.
Very fast. And then part of that is a little bit of fear because you kind of gain weight. So you would have gained maybe 1 or 2 kilos just by having more carbs because you were holding more water in your muscle. This isn't a bad thing. It's not fat. It's just water in your muscle, right? And then, you know, you might have been looking at the scales being like, oh, I'm unsure, you know, I'm a little bit heavier than I think I am, whatever you think your weight should be based off of whatever reason it is. And that could be confronting to some people. However, if you kind of stick by the process and, you know, I don't like using the words trust the process, maybe something more like commit to the process, commit to it, try it, give it a go. And if you don't like it, okay, like you can tick the box saying that you've tried it, but commit to the process and the results speak for themselves. And you're an example of it. You followed the principles. And of course, you probably modified some things to fit you, such as the exercise program, maybe the nutrition plan, you modified it slightly to fit within your own preferences. You mentioned that, you know, you're having 2000 calories now and you might increase it. That's okay. You're allowed to do that, right? Maybe because you're in that category of more advanced because you start to understand the principles and you modify it to fit your own training, your own nutrition. However, if you're a super beginner, you're not sure what's going on, it's probably best just to simply follow the principles, commit to the process, and then test if it's working over time. And you might be surprised that over 6 weeks, over 12 weeks, you just see these really large and drastic changes like you've experienced over 2 challenges now. And we need to accept that it might not happen in 1 challenge. It might be that second challenge that where the magic happens. So I guess my question to you is, can you speak about the differences between the 2 challenges? So what was the difference in that second challenge, that September challenge, that got you to where you are, where you took out the Maxine's challenge and you won the Maxine's challenge? What was the approach like between the 2 challenges?
I think the main difference was, okay, this is a personal one. It was the way I changed my way of thinking and my mindset. I had this goal when I started the Get Strong challenge. Mm-hmm. It was like I put this mission out on myself. I'm turning 50 in May and I didn't want to turn 50 and look old or feel old. I felt like I still feel like a kid inside and I wanted to look great. And so I told Sue and Laura that I want to look hot for when I turn 50. I don't want to look my age. And with their guidance and their help, I trained like a soldier. I really, really did. And I never thought that I could train that hard. And I just had to learn to believe in myself. And every day I would just go and just power through all my sessions and just get it done. And it was just like there was something that I needed to achieve for myself. Whether I won it or not, it didn't matter, but I needed to get to that end. And once I started seeing results coming through, changes in my body, it just drove me even more. And I think people start the challenge and they go into it a week, 2 weeks, they don't see anything happening. They need to give it a bit longer. By week 4, week 6, you start seeing little signs of changes in your body. And it's those little changes that will drive you to keep going. And you just need to grab that, you know, a bit of positivity and drive and just keep pushing through, because by week 12, you're going to have a completely different body to what you started with in week 1. And you just be blown away by the results. Another thing that I did, I stuck to the nutrition 100%. Mm-hmm. I weighed everything. Everything was by scale, nothing went into my mouth that wasn't on the plan. And that was another goal of mine. When I was doing TNS, I didn't stick to it 100%. Because we were training from home, it was a bit, you know, a bit of a casual training. We weren't as serious about it. But when I started to get strong, everything was 100% nutrition, 100% training, and 100% determination. And, yeah, my results just showed. It was just proof that it works.
No, beautiful. And I think you demonstrate there where we can get amazing results by going casually about it, right? You know, if you are someone who isn't exercising right now or is not following a diet plan or anything, you know, you can get some results through taking it very casually, where you're improving your fitness levels, you're eating a little bit better, you're being a little bit more physically active. All right, you're going to get changes. But if you want these real amazing, jaw-dropping, like, you know, mind-blowing transformations, at the end of the day, you need to put the work in. And
it's hard. You need to put the work
in. Yeah, yes. It's hard. 100% is hard. Like 100% nutrition, weighing everything is hard. Like training hard is hard, right? It's hard work. Like there's no way around that. And it's not for everybody. Like not everybody is mentally strong enough for it. Not everyone has the environment and the resources available to them too, right? You know, some people work a lot. Some people are really time poor. Some people don't have access to gyms. That's okay. Like to get these really amazing results take lots and lots of hard work. And for that, you know, I congratulate you for going through the hard yards. And what's come out of it is, one, you're going to be a role model to so many people. You've led the way for change in your gym, where there's women at a women's gym now fighting for the weights in the weights room, right?
That's right.
They're really positive changes. And speaking from like a health aspect, women as we age, I mean, we as in not me, because I'm not a woman, but, you know, we are so prone to muscle loss. And when we lose our muscle, we lose a lot of bone mineral density. Women are more prone to things like osteoporosis, right? And joint conditions such as osteoarthritis. And if you stop training and stop exercising, you generally get weaker bones and you're generally more prone to these comorbidities and diseases that can be really lethal to your body. So what can you do to reduce your chance of genuinely dying? Is lift some weights, right? Just lift some weights and you'll be stronger. Lift some weights, you'll be happier, you'll be healthier, and you look younger, right? There's no magic cream out there. The magic cream is the dumbbells in the corner of the room. They're what's going to make you younger and stronger and everything in between.
Another positive impact, a lot of women suffer from a lot of anxiety due to having a family, the stresses of life. Mm-hmm. And that was me as well. And I thought that I was releasing that doing cardio. Mm-hmm. But weight training has just changed or has reduced my anxiety levels.
Yeah.
And I just feel, like you said, you get into that zone and you just feel calm. Mm-hmm. And your confidence levels, as you see changes in your body, your confidence levels just increase and increase. And you just feel so amazing about yourself. And I'm always smiling. I'm always happy. And, you know, it's amazing how women, that, you know, they're so fearful of picking up a weight and they can gain so much by just giving it a go. Yeah. Mm. So I'm so glad that they've changed their whole mindset to weight training. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, Maria, the last point here is about advice. So I'm sure many people have reached out to you asking for advice. And if someone was listening to this and they were about to start their fitness journey or they were about to start their own challenge journey, what advice would you give that person so they can get the most out of their fitness journey and the most out of their body transformation experience?
Okay, the first thing I would advise is not to overthink things. I would be the first person to overthink things and everything would just be like all cluttered up in my head of all these things I've got to follow. So as in training, you just go in and take each session day by day. And as I said, train like it's your last session and just smash every workout. And don't think about 12 weeks. 12 weeks can seem so far away. Mm-hmm. So if you concentrate day by day, then a week will go past 2 weeks will go past, 3 weeks will go past, you'll have a month behind you. Mm-hmm. And so those 12 weeks will catch up quite fast and you'll be finished before you know it.
Yeah. Just adding on to that, remember that 12 weeks flies by, but it's something that we want you to be doing for the rest of your life, right? So like fitness isn't just a 12-week journey, right? It's a whole lifelong journey. And sometimes we go into the challenge with that mindset where, oh, I'm only going to do 12 weeks and then I'm going to wipe my hands and walk away. It's like, no, like we want you to be physically active forever, yes, right? So we need to find something that's working well for us and something that's sustainable long-term, right? But please go ahead with your other advice you have there.
Okay, another piece of advice would be to be keep your food simple. Don't overcomplicate your meals. Look through your plans. Have a look at what you need to be eating at that meal. Weigh it, put it aside and combine it. And that's how I got through my nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I would also, I was a massive clean eater. I got rid of all processed foods, a lot of salts out of my diet. It just had a massive positive impact on my body. My energy just skyrocketed. So I encourage people to try and clean eat. Everything comes from the ground, wholemeal carbs, and you'll see a massive change in energy.
Good.
And thirdly is to find a mentor. So without a mentor, you won't have the guidance or the proper guidance to complete the challenge. Mentors have been through it before. They know the process. They know the guidelines of how to follow, how to keep your nutrition on track, how to train properly, how to keep you mentally balanced. So you need to find a mentor that you're pretty much in the same age bracket in and that you get along with, because it has such a positive impact on continuing on or achieving great results through this challenge.
I love that. That's some quality advice. And I'm sure that if people were just to follow those three simple things, they would achieve an amazing result that you have. Look, Maria, let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I genuinely want to thank you for being such an inspiration to so many people out there. You know, within your circles, you've led this transformation in your gym and you've led so many women to looking positively towards resistance training and men out there to both live a healthier life and a fitter life. And as a little bit of a confession, you know, you were one of my favorite transformations in the challenge and one of my favorite people to see on the Facebook group. And my partner who will be listening to this, she loved watching you and Elfleda posting videos very frequently on the Facebook group, and you actually took out the top spot in the most active person on our Facebook group, commenting the most, liking the most, and posting the most. And I think that says something a little bit about commitment, because not only were you dedicated in the gym, you were dedicated to the entire process, right? You committed to the process, and part of that was committing to the community, and you were super active supporting people. And that goes so much further than the transformation, right? You led the way and you helped the people, right? So genuinely, I want to thank you for being you. And I want to thank you for making my job easy, because, you know, without people like you, I have to work harder, right? So genuinely, thank you. And a big congratulations on an amazing result that you have achieved.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.